single malt.
Dalad Shabbat, Sunday the 9th of January, Rabbi Shimshon Silkin, Free Will and Paro.
Although now that the cake and single malt has arrived, I'm not sure we've got much free will, actually. I think it's very clear that there's been a major upset here. So Parshas B'Shalach really starts off on along the same lines as the previous couple of parashas, because Paro never really knows when he's beaten. Finally, Klal Yisrael have left, and it doesn't take very long for Paro to look around, and he says, "Look at that! Nevuchim heim ba'aretz, sogar aleim hamidbar. Klal Yisrael are lost." So again, mechizakti is leiv Paro. Once again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu strengthens his heart, v'rodav acharem, and he charges after them. Vayeser ezrich boi, v'es amo lo chachim boi, he assembles his masses. Again, the Pasuk Chesed says, v'aychazik Hashem es leiv Paro melech Mitzrayim. So because I haven't been here in the past couple of weeks, and even though this is perhaps an Indian that's been discussed around a lot of Shabbos tables over the past few weeks, but nevertheless it will still be discussed this coming Shabbos as well, this whole Indian of V'chizakti is Leiv Paro, or V'yechazik Hashem is Leiv Paro. It's the ultimate question which everybody asks this time of year, and then it gets asked again Pesach time, which is Hayitochen, how is it possible? How is it possible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would remove, as the title suggests on the flyer, how is it possible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would remove the Bechira Chofshis, the free choice of Paro? Eshes, how is it possible that he would remove it? Secondly, what is life if there's no free will? What is, you know, what's the point? You know, you may as well be an animal. The fundamental difference between a human being and a cockroach, right, or a dog, right, is that basically a person has a moral compass, knows how to choose right from wrong, should know how to choose right from wrong, at least has the capacity to choose right from wrong, and an animal does not. So once you take the that Bechira element away from a human being, so you're left with an animal. As soon as we see Taka, that the Mitzrayim are compared to animals, various different animals, they're compared to horses, they are compared to donkeys, they're compared to dogs, and each one of these things is very important, actually. But lemaisa b'yisoid, I think the third most important question is, not the third most important, the third, comma, most important, question is what's the limud ha'doras? What's the message for the generation? So we read these parashas, we teach them to our children, we discuss it over Pesach. What's hamach in them? I'm supposed to learn from a Paro something, right? Epis that he was somebody who got beaten up by a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Makkah after Makkah, never gets the message. At points, he has moments of reflection. Hashem HaTzadik V'ani V'ami Hoshem. Then it's back to his old ways again. What's the limud? What's the Musahaskur? What am I learning from this? What's the... Torah is supposed to teach me something. It's from a story about someone who got beaten up finally. So this, the truth is, this Kasha is really asked by many of the Rishonim. Chayim as well.
What Makkah did you say Hashem
Tzadik? Hashem Tzadik was by Borod, if I'm not mistaken.
What number is that?
But now we've gone, we're ready after all the Makkahs. Now we're heading towards Kriyas Yamsuf. Yeah. So this is the truth of the Ramban. Many people are familiar with the Ramban's Mahalach. Also, you've got this four nose, a similar. The truth is the Ramban offers two different Mahalach in the Indian of the Bechira of Paroi. And he says the famous Chiddush that we think that Paroi had his Bechira removed al yedei, through the strengthening of his heart, because v'chizakti, v'yechazak, v'yechazik, v'yachbed, right, because of those things, therefore, Paro had his Bechira removed. Ramban says the famous Chiddush, that Faked, his Bechira was given back to him. Because if a person acts and does a good deed when he's under duress, when he's forced into it, that's not Bechira, he gets nothing for that. Which, by the way, is a whole schmooze to itself. That if people just do things stam because they're forced into doing it, right? Or people that are doing things mitzvahs on Oshim Ulumodo, because that's the way they're trained, that's the way they've been raised to do it, right? It's not worth anything. It's not worth a lot anyway. It's worth kimat nothing. Right? So das leins out. That's ready shmuz hazich for another time. Now Paroi was given the opportunity, Ali Day the Chizuk Leiv, to say no. Because who wouldn't say no if they've got locusts in the fridge? Right? Who wouldn't say no if there's frogs in the oven? Now Vadi's gonna say, let the Eden out. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the opportunity, the Chizakti, to say no, Tefaket. He gave him back his Bechir. That's the Mahalach Rama. We're gonna suggest a different Mahalach to try and understand what's happening over here. And there is a tremendous Musa that emerges from this. Yodua is brought down from Chazal in several places that the Yidden Mitzrayim had sunk to what's called the 49th level of Tumah. That's what it says, 49 levels of Tumah and 50 levels of Tumah, and Kal Yisrael were languishing at level 49. They were in what you might say in the modern vernacular in the relegation zone. Yeah, they were about to drop out because another minute, another second, and Klal Yisrael will finish. As I say, Rambam, Kimat Kat, another set, another half, and that, had HaKadosh Baruch Hu not expedited the process, right, Klal Yisrael would have been lost forever. That's what Hopsham pit in Pesach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu skipped over the normal Mahalach of Geula, because had he gone through the normal paces, Klal Yisrael never would have gotten that. He had to sort of bypass the system. Yeah, in order to get Klal Yisrael. Medalik al Hahorim Shtei, there's a diluk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to skip over the normal sort of steps of Geula, because had they been left another second, they would have been destroyed, or at least spiritually annihilated. So, Menteh Shari Tumah, that we hear about a lot. The only question is, what is the Tumah that we're discussing here? What's for our Tumah? Is Tumah Smagor Masa, Tumah Mace, Tumah Sheretz, Zova? I mean, what is the Tumah here? What's that tumah? When we talk about tumas Mitzrayim, the tumah of Mitzrayim, what is that? So the Sfarim explain, the Yisoy God, a very important Indian, and that is that the word tumah, right, actually has a meaning, right, as opposed to the more general understanding that tumah means impurity, something that's impure. Tumah actually means something much more specific. The word tumah actually means blocked. That's what the word actually means. It means to block. It means to restrict. It's like a clot. It's like a spiritual clot and a spiritual artery. That is what it is. It's a stimas hadvorim. So when things are closed and things, there's no access, right? That is, and I explain that the opposite of, we can often see something from its opposite, from its contrast to its opposite. The opposite of tumah, everyone knows, is tahara. Right? And then the word tahara, again, even though it's often described as something that's pure, but really the word tahara means clarity. For example, the Gemara says that the letters tess and the letters tzadi are interchangeable. It's one of those two letters in the Gemara that can be exchanged. When the Pasuk says, by the teva of Noach, but soya tasela teva, that soya was a transparent window where his view was blocked from the world all around. Nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided an opportunity of clarity where Noach could see through and see the world. That soya is a lashon of toya. Toya means it's clear. The truth is that in English today, the word pure also means clear. You know, when you buy pure honey, yeah? Pure honey. Now, why is it called pure? What's it done? It went to mikveh that morning. But the bees had bris milah. What's pshat that the honey is pure? What's about pure honey? The eating is, you can see through, right? You hold the jar and you can see through. What's impure honey? When there's sediments, there's pieces, there's bits, not sediments, the wax. That's it. Nachon? Is that right? In other words, so we use the word, it's very interesting in English. I think I've said this here before, that often we use words in English and we don't chap at all what they mean unless we open up a Maharal, we understand that the shtick of the Lashon HaKodesh. One example I'll give you, I think I did say this, I think the very first time I was here, we shared this idea. It was a while back now. The Oxford Dictionary is based really on, oftentimes, on the deep Yisod in Torah. For example, we know that in Lashon HaKodesh, and in Hashkofa also, there's a deep relationship between trust, yeah, and counting. There's a relationship there. For example, the word itself, yeah, the word itself, emuno and minyan, is the same root. And pokad and pikotin, pikotin is an item of trust. Vayafked, in fact, when it says vayafked hamelech pekidim al haoretz, the Talmud says vayahamne mehemne, right? Emuno and minyan, right? Lindois, right? Or lemanos, right? To appoint someone, to give him a task, to entrust him with a task. In fact, in modern Hebrew, a pakid is someone who's entrusted with a task. Pakid ba'if goy pokat pakikudin is to count. And in English, what do we say? That person you can count on. I'm counting on you. What am I counting on? What's the? I'm counting on you. Ever think about what that means? I'm counting on you. What are you counting for? Right? So it's very interesting that oftentimes we use a musug, right? And the truth is it has its roots in Torah as well. So this was an example of where purity actually means clarity. We understand that. And the pshat is like this. It's based on a Malbim, the truth is, on Tanakh. But he says like this, an amazing idea. Medicine Maiden, people think that there are tzaddikim and there are rishoyim. And tzaddikim are on one mahalach, and rishoyim on a different mahalach. The tzaddikim are on the M1, and the rishoyim on the M6. Yeah, I'm not talking about the workers on the side. The people traveling, there are tzaddikim traveling towards tzidkus, and there are rishoyim that are traveling towards rishus, on two completely different mahalachim. That's what I mean. He's on a good path, and he's not a good path, and that's where we have that loshen nebuch in our day of off the derech. Right? Because what derech are we talking about? We're talking about this person's on the right derech, this person's on the wrong derech. But actually, off the derech, lemaisa, is actually, I'm just thinking now, is actually a much more accurate description, to be honest. Because what the Malbim says and other Rishonim say also, is that the truth is there's only one derech. There's only one derech. It's not sure there's a derech to the left or a derech to the right. There's one derech. Ki yishorin darche Hashem. There's one road and it leads to the Rebbein Yisraelim. One road. Novos. Tzadikim yel chubom. The tzadikim walk down that derech. Or Rishonim yikosh lubom. And the Rishonim fall off that derech. Right? They're off that derech to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Stop, they're on a different derech. Right? They're just not holchim on that derech. They are yikosh lubom. They are being nichshal. They are stumbling on that very same derech. It's not sure they've got a different road somewhere. There's no road. It's not a road. They're just off the one road that there is that leads towards the Rebbein Yisraelim. Holikim otza es ha'adam yosho. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us straight. Ve'ebitshu cheshboin Yisraelim. But they make problems. We create our own problems, our own obstacles. To hide you like this. There is a road which we are placed upon at the beginning of our lives that leads to the Rebbein Yisraelim. It's one derech. The reason why sometimes it's complicated is not because we've taken a wrong turn. Nishtos lipshats. Lipshats we can't get through. There's roadblocks. Yikoshlu is a michshoil. That's the lashon. There's a michshoil. I can't get through. That's tuma. Taharu means there's clarity. You can see all the way through. You can go. That's lashon l'tahir. L'tahir also. It's to clarify. It's to remove the roadblocks. Tuma is lipshat. That is lashon tomun is hidden. It's blocked. You can't see. It's the same nisoid. It's the same shoyrish. I can't get through. Once you remove the blockage, memela, I come back to the Rebbein Yisraelim. I don't state the Maisa. I don't have it here. But the lashon of the famous machlokes of Chaim Brisker and Rebbe Chanan Wasserman. Yeah, just use this. It's not really a tangent. It's just an example to highlight this point. There's a famous machlokes based on a Rambam in Yoni Apikorsim. The Rambam lists five different types of apikorsim. Kofrim, what he calls minim. Yeah? Minim. Ba minim. Karega yovedu. And what's the minim? Apikorsim. So five different types of apikorsim. Yeah? And the famous of Chaim on that Rambam, right, quoted by Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, is that he might be an apikoris, right? But as he says, the famous Loshon Rabbi Chaim is never an apikoris, is oichet an apikoris. Someone who's never an apikoris is still an apikoris. That's the shit of Rav Chaim. In other words, he might not know, he might have been raised secular. He has no idea about Torah and Hashemayim. Right? He hasn't got a clue about what's going on. He's an apikoris, according to the Rambam. Oich an apikoris, according to Rav Chaim. Zog Rav Chona, chas v'sholem. Chas v'sholem, you're going to call someone who has no idea an apikoris? Apikoris is there. You know, apikoris is a tinam shenishvah. Abikoris is someone who knows better and turns his back on the Rebbein Yisraelim. There's a million Israelis today that cannot finish the sentence Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. Can't finish the sentence. Ma ze? Shema ma? Yisrael ma? Hashem ma? Ma ze? Elo ma? Abikorisim! Abikorisim! Chas v'shalom! Tinoi kishenish bozok to talk to Rebbein Yisraelim. And then he says a beautiful thing. He says, because the nefesh of a yid is naturally tuned towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's naturally inclined towards Ruchnius. It's connected. The depth of the Yid is always connected to Rebbeinu Shloim. No, boss, he's got Deus Mishuboshos. His deus have been twisted. He's been educated the wrong way. So those are the Mishoilim. Those are the things that are getting in the way of his natural tendency to feel the Rebbeinu Shloim. And I'll tell a tremendous story as well. We say this, the truth is, every single morning. Elokai, we say, Neshomo Shenosato Bi Tohoroi. My Neshoma is Torah. Seems a bit arrogant. No one's perfect. That every single year can get up in the morning and say, my Neshoma is Torah. So what's it? I thought the whole point of Yom Kippur is, what do you need a Tahir Eschem if the Neshoma is already Torah? Every morning we say, I'm Torah. Yas is Emes. The Neshom is animal to her. No boss, there's things in the way. There are blockages, there's what we said before, we talked about arteries, there's spiritual cholesterol that blocks the ability of the Neshom to pump Ki Adam Hu HaNefesh into the Neshom. But the Maisa, the Neshom of it, into the rest of the person. But the Maisa, the Neshom is animal to her. No boss, so what you learn from here is like this. There's not shalat of the two derachim. There's one derech, and that derech is alamot Torah. No, vos, the inyan of tumah is that it gets in the way. So therefore, really, there are only 50 levels. There aren't 100 levels. People think, Paro and Mitzrayim were 49 levels of tumah, right? So they're minus 49. Moshe Rabbeinu Ki Yadua was living on the 49th level of Tahara. When he was nifted, says he entered into the 50th level. That's why the mountain he died on was called Har Nevoi. Shein Arizal Har Nunboi. There were 50 levels in that. When he went, in the moment of his material, he hit the highest level of Tahara. But the Maestri, so people think, Moshe Rabbeinu was 49 levels of Tahara. Paro is on the 49th level, that's on 50th level. So there are 98 levels of Har. Minus 49, yes? Plus 49. That's not the Pshat. Nishkos the Pshat. There are only 50 levels. Sometimes it's called Chamishim Shaar Rebino, right? So whatever they call, there's only 50, right? Avenues. There's 50 Kenyoni Torahs, 49, connected to 49 days, the mice of the sphere that they had to climb through. But when they reach Chamishim Yoim, that's the highest level. But there's no minus. There's no minus. No, what's Pshat Tumah? When each one of those levels of Taro is blocked, is closed, the door is locked and bolted, then you've got Tumah. You don't need to create a new door, you just need to open it. Dosim Shat. Tumah is the koyach that closes the door on the Rebbeinu Shloim. Tahara is the inyan that you, letahir eschem, shall you reopen the door so the neshoma that is tahara can do what it's naturally best at, which is connected to the Rebbeinu Shloim. Dosim the inyan. It's not Shat 100 levels, there are only 50 levels. 50 levels of connection to the Rebbeinu Shloim, being or tahara, call them what you want, different places, and the koyach of Tumah reduces that. He's also saying, when we talk about if that's true, that is true, but given that that is true, when we look at Paroi, it's Azoi. Everyone asks the Kasha, how come his free choice was taken away? How come his free will was taken away? Today we're going to try and be Mechadish, that in English, at least, we'll use the words, there is a difference between free will and free choice. Come on, Zuzan, explain. There's a difference between free will and free choice. Nishtazel Vizach. Two separate ideas. I'll give you an example. Very simple example. Someone's driving up the road and they need to make a right turn. Yeah? Somehow, every time I'm here, there's a big koch going on. Every time, there's something going on. What is it? Is it plumbing, electricity? It's like always some drilling, lawnmower once. If you recall back, always something. Right? So you can almost never turn, always, right? You can almost never turn in to Leaside Crest, which I find. But the Meiser, you need to make a right turn. Right? There's two reasons why you might be prevented. There's two types of reason that might prevent you from doing so. Yeah. One is, you've got a flat tire. It's a gatenish, right? Or the battery's flat. It's a gatenish, right? The car's not moving. There's no electricians, there's no plumbers, there's no council workers, there's nothing, there's no problem. Nor was the problem is within. That the car, the vehicle, the kli that needs to pull you over to the right, starbednished. It's not working. Yeah? Or there could be a completely different reason. Second reason could be, the car's very good, there's no problem with it, but there's a roadblock. They put a concrete barrier up. You can want to turn right all you like, but you're not going to be able to, because you can't get in. There's a fundamental difference between the two. One is a problem within, and one is a problem without. Yeah? Nachon?
Yes.
Is that so? When we say free will, what's free will? Rocks in the stock in the Vendik. It's inside. A person's desire comes from in here. Yeah? Free choice is the choice is outside, right? You got a choice, chicken or schnitzel. That's what they always say to you, right? To the chasna, this or that. As I was ready, chasna, what's sitting next to someone? The fella comes around, chicken or schnitzel. He says, "Lo mishaneh haseder." So that wasn't. Okay, but in other words, those are your choices. But the ma'aseh, your desire might be for both, might be one or the other. But if they're only giving you one option, then that's enough going in the choices. Same as over here. Chas v'shalom to say that Paro's free will was taken away. Here's the chiddush otzum. Hain that we've learned that tumah is the blockage that you can't move. There's a chiddush noira that comes from this. And that is that Paro might have wanted all he liked to do the right thing. Obavibalt, as a result of all his bad behavior, he'd closed door after door after door after until he was in Gansen blocked. There were roadblocks in every single one of the drachim. So what this means is that even if he wanted to do the right thing, he couldn't do the right thing because there was no access. He had prevented his own access to reach the Rebbeinu. So even if he, for a moment, said Hashem Asadi Vani Vami Horoshoim, as soon as that moment had passed, it was back to square one again. There was no way through. He couldn't get through. Dahainu, he may have wanted to change, but he prevented himself from doing so. There was a concrete roadblock. This is the Tumah of Mitzrayim. By the way, the Sfarim say Mitzrayim, that's what Mitzrayim is. Mitzrayim is the composite of the words Meitzar and Yam. Yam is the 50 that we're talking about, Gematria 50. And in Mitzrayim, they were all blocked, they were restricted. The 49 days to the 50th day of Har Sinai was unlocking all of those doors. But Kozman, they were in Mitzrayim, there was no way through. No way through. And this is the Indian Apara. In fact, Arizal says an amazing idea. He says, where's the neshama? The neshama, like, in the neshama is in the moyach. We say when we put it on tefillin in the morning, ha-neshama shuv moichi. The neshama is here, people give on the neshama, they point to all sorts of places. But the ma'aseh in the neshama is doch the seichel. The seichel, like we said before, demands the rebbeinu. Like Rabbi Chana was saying, the seichel says rebbeinu shalom. The seichel cries, if you use your seichel, you see the rebbeinu shalom. What are you going to say? What? That will happen by itself. It's only deus mishubosho is in taivas, as he says, Rabbi Chol, and they make a person think, well, maybe not. But Lemaisa, the Seichel demands the Rabbi Nishlan. Where's the Seichel in the Neshama? Where's the Neshama in the Moach, in the mind? Right? These things go together. Right? It's the guf, it's the gashmis of a person that makes him try to block that access. There is this an amazing thing. He says, Paroi Oisus Ha'oref. Because the Oref is the breakpoint between the Seichel and the guf. Midparoi, it stopped there. There was no access. There was no connection b'chlal between the sichli part of a person, the aspect that demands a bonus, common sense that demands a bonus, and the rest of himself that didn't allow. This is the idea of Paroi. And this is why his bechira was not active. It's not pshat that he didn't have free will, nor was the pshat is now saying is that his tumor, the cholesterol, caused his heart attack. Asher Al-Kain, therefore, Lemaiser, a tremendous chiddush that we can add to this, that based really on the first Rashi of the Torah, that where does the Torah really begin? The Torah really began yesterday. The Torah really begins in Parshas Bo. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodesh. Right? What is that? That's the first mitzvah. First mitzvah. It's given to Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim. Right? So, first of Chakasha. Why is, everyone wants to know, what's the Indian that all this one talk about this? The HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the mitzvahs to Klal Yisrael while they're still around in the blotter. Yeah, they're in the dirt. Take them out, bring them to Har Sinai, give them the Torah. What's the end of HaKadosh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim? Why were they given the mitzvahs mitoich while they're still in Mitzrayim? Even Moshe Rabbeinu said, I need to leave the town so I can daven for you. I can't daven here, he said. Right? He says, so here, right, I'll lift up my hands and I'll daven for you. I can't daven here. And yet, nevertheless, Rebbeinu Shlom gives mitzvahs to Klal Yisrael Be'oidom b'mitzrayim, whilst they're still there in the seat of Tumah. Yeah? So the Indian is very poshut. Chur is very poshut, based on what we're saying. Because what we've learned is that a person's activity can block their access to the Rebbeinu Shleilam. And this is the truth behind the Mishnah, the Indian and the Mishnah, where it says, Avera gereres Avera. Yeah? The poshut pshat in Avera gereres Avera is, once you do one Avera, so then you do another Avera. That's what they call an English habit. Regimus. Right. Once you get into a certain kimi shishono, nasa look ahead. Once you've done something once, you do it again, you lose sensitivity. But now we're seeing a deeper shot. Every time a person does an avera, so they create a block, they create a certain amount of tumah that surrounds the neshama. There's a film that starts to gather around. There's an extra layer. Right? Avera is not just a deed, okay, I'll do teshuvah. It has a practical impact on the person. Every avera a person does creates a certain stigma. So therefore, obviously, the next time a person's in a nisoyin, they're not going to have as much koyach to deal with it. Why? Because I can't get through, like we learned from Paroi. Paroi was the ultimate rosh. Paroi was the ultimate rosh, so he had all 50 levels. There's no such person ever like that that can ever do teshuvah. Even Yishmael does teshuvah, so if Yomov. Everyone can do teshuvah at some point. But Lamaisa, the question is how hard it's going to be. We make it hard for ourselves. Roshoim Yikoshlubon, the Malbim says, because we put the roadblocks up ourselves. So we try to govern with Kavona. Right? And the problem is that the reason we can't is not because of anything external, it's internal. I've made my own blockages, things that I've done, things that I've seen, things that I've said, because of destiny, things that I've thought, create a reality. So I can't relate to the Moshlem. So there is literally Guerrero Savera. What's the remedy? What's the answer? Poshut, the same Mishnah. If Avera is Guerrero Savera, then the mitzvah is Guerrero mitzvah. Every mitzvah removes a block. Every mitzvah clears the path. Every mitzvah gets me closer to the Rebbeinu Shlom. This is why it says, "Rotza Kodesh Baruch Hu leZakoi says Yisrael leFichach Hirbo Lahem Torah Mitzvahs." What's Pshat leZakoi says Yisrael? Moshe Pshat is leZakoi says Moshe Zchus to give the merits. Like you do as leZakoi says Moshe Zichuch. Mitzvahs clean a person. Doing a mitzvah is like going to take in the neshama to the dry cleaners. Because the mitzvahs allow us to get back to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the power of a mitzvah. So averus gereres avera, that's paroi. Mitzvah gereres mitzvah. Therefore, achodesh hazeh lochem. If you want to jump start the system, if you want Klal Yisrael to start pulling away from the mentesh shari tumah, which means satima, which means blockage, you need mitzvahs. You can't just get out of Mitzrayim. You need something to get started. Look, mitzvah gereres mitzvah, achodesh hazeh lochem rosh chodoshim. Then it says that in the world of Kiruv, this musik, this idea, is sometimes taken to an extreme. Just get them to do a mitzvah. It's not necessarily what we're suggesting here. Right? Everyone to their own. But this is a very, very powerful tool. And it shouldn't be sneezed at. Unfortunately, like many things in life, it's sometimes taken to a certain degree, and then it gets frowned upon. But the Maisa, getting any Yid to perform a mitzvah, right, is a tremendous thing. And that's what we learn from this parasha, because it begins to open up the crack. People think, no, you need to convince them first. You need to get them completely, get the seichel. The emphasis is what we learn from here, is that the seichel is already there. The seichel is already screaming, Rabbeinu Shlomo. The problem is that there's so many taivas, there's so many averis, that this, they're blocked, they can't get out. You give an opportunity to do a mitzvah. Where that's coming from is that it peels away, it opens a door, and once the light starts coming through, it's mamash like the Ramchal says in Derech Hashem, right? Based on the Gemara, which is based on the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Alma of the Haaretz al ozvom es toirosi." Right? The Rebbeinu Shlom says because they left my Torah. Says the Gemara, left my Torah, left the Rebbeinu Shlom. Says Hakadosh Baruch Hu in the Gemara, "Halavai oisi ozvu es toirosi shamaru." Halavai, they forget about me. Just keep my Torah. Forget about the Rebbeinu Shlom. Do Torah, do a mitzvah, because that will bring you back anyway. As the Ramchal says, "Hamor shaboy machzirom namutzav." The light in the Torah will bring them back. The Torah can do it on its own. So we give them a mitzvah to jumpstart the system, to spark the revival, to bring them back to Har Sinai. Right? It has to be within a system. There has to be a structure. You can't just give them a mitzvah and leave, because then that's useless. It could even be problematic. It could even be detrimental to their spiritual health, because then you give them a mitzvah and you start to spark them, and then there's no follow up at all. The stoichnish. What we're talking about is get them accustomed as shivul to mitzvahs, because then what you've done is you've given them the opportunity to live a life based on what they know anyway, deep down in their seichel. The neshama veisach tahori, like we've said, Paro had his bechiru removal. And I say every other person never has all the doors shut. Loi ma'astim v'loi ga'altim l'chaloisom l'hofei b'risi isom, says in the Mefarshim, it's not just referring to physically, spiritually as well. No person has ever lost completely. Leval yidach nimenu nidach. There's no such thing a person is destroyed. deep down inside, every person has a shaychus b'Rosh Hashanah. It's all in there. Not what's the things in the way. The way that we spark the revival and start to bring people ourselves back to b'Rosh Hashanah is a greater adherence to mitzvahs as well as in quality or quantity. I'll let you go.